Thanks for taking time to listen to this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center. In this podcast, we continue a series called Wake Up, It's Not Business as Usual. Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center, continues with a message titled On Mission with God. During this message, he also has invited a couple of guests to join him. So now let's join Pastor Ray.
I believe God's prophetic prompting, God's prophetic call for Portland Christian Center. And so now this is about aligning our lives corporately and individually to see that that happens, to be the greatest conduit of the Great Commission, for the completion of the Great Commission of any church that the world has ever known. That's possible, you know. Yeah, like three people agree with me. That's possible. That's possible. It's possible, you know. I mean, why not? It was said of the early church, the first church. They have turned the world upside down. When Paul and Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica, we're going to, interestingly, start studying that those two books next week. They said as they the town heard these guys were coming, they said, oh, my goodness, these guys that have turned the world upside down are coming here also. They changed their world. It was true of the 300 Assembly of God delegates that gathered in Hot Springs, Arkansas, of all places, back in 1914 to form this cooperative fellowship that we now know as our denomination, the Assemblies of God. And these 300, many of them backwater Christ followers, prayed this bold prayer, God, make us the greatest force for evangelism the world has ever known. Like 300 people. They didn't know any better but to pray that big, hairy, audacious prayer. God, make us the greatest force for evangelism the world has ever known. Now, almost 100 years later, that is well on its way to being true. And that can be true of us as well. This statement can be our reality. How is that? Well, I think the recipe for this is found there in Acts chapter 4. There are three things that I talked about 2 weeks ago that I see all happening in this book. How did they become people who turned the world upside down? And how will we be people who will change our world and become the greatest conduit for the completion of the Great Commission? Well, number one, they got filled with God's Spirit. They got filled with God's Spirit. It will not happen just because I stand up here and say it. In fact, that's probably a good reason that it won't happen if I just say it without the Spirit's prompting and without the Spirit's enabling. We see in that chapter in verse 8 where Peter and John were hauled in before the Sanhedrin, and this religious body was saying, do not preach and speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke. And man, he held his own with them. If you go down to verse 31, it says, the church after Peter and John got out from the Sanhedrin, they went and they told the body of Christ gathered, and this is what the body of Christ, the church in Jerusalem, prayed. After they prayed, and they said, God, give us boldness to declare the word even more fearlessly. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Do you know what, the number one evidence of being Spirit-filled is? It's not speaking in tongues, it's not having these cool spiritual gifts, although that is a part of the package, I suppose. It is speaking the word of God with boldness. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to enable us to do. They got filled with God's Spirit. And then they got close to God's Son. You'll see in verses 13 that when the Sanhedrin looked at Peter and John and they witnessed them holding forth in boldness, they took note that these ignorant, unschooled men had been with Jesus. You make that the goal, the primary goal of your life, just to spend time, just start hanging out with Jesus. Make that your goal so that at the end of the day, all the people know to do with you is to take note that you too have been with Jesus. That's how we're going to change our world. We get filled with God's Spirit, we get close to God's Son, and lastly, they got aligned to God's agenda. They said, you know, no more about us, no more about what we want what God wants. God, use us as the conduit for the declaration, the proclamation of the Great Commission. You see at the very end of that chapter that they begin to sell their possessions and bring the proceeds to the apostles, say, use this to spread the gospel. They begin to take care of one another's needs, so the text says there was no needy person among them. They got in unity. God began to release signs and wonders and miracles among them. They began to preach the word of God boldly. And even one particular man by the name of Joseph was so moved by this that he sold a piece of property and he brought it to the apostles and he said, use this. That man, Joseph, became known as Barnabas. And do you realize that God so touched Barnabas that he became one of the first missionaries of the early church? Paul and Barnabas got sent out. So what God is calling us to do is to align our lives as well. To first of all, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then to get close to God's Son. And then to align our lives radically and fundamentally to the mission of God. And God will use us as the greatest conduit of the Great Commission for its completion that the world has ever known. Now, some of you are saying, oh my goodness, are you going to ask me to sell my home, sell my car, sell everything I have and go on the mission field? I'm not asking you to do anything. God may, but I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. God may do that. And so you're saying, that's great. I'm glad Barnabas did that, but I don't know that I can relate to that. Well, just listen to God. But more than that, this is about getting on mission with God in your life right now. Because missions isn't just about going to Brazil, as Cameron and Jan are going to tell you. It's not about just going to Ethiopia. It's about going next door to your neighbor. It's about going to the desk next to yours at work. It's about stopping by the locker next to you in school and just letting God flow through you as that conduit that he wants to use to reach the lost in your world. So I'm going to ask Cameron and Janet to come and share because they have a story of both. God has called them to give up everything that they have to go to Brazil. We're going to hear that story. But they said, we don't want to wait till we get to Brazil to be used as a conduit for God's glory. We want to start right now. And they have an incredible testimony of how God has been using them just as ordinary people to lead people to Christ in miraculous ways. So I'm going to invite Janet to come. Would you come? Welcome Janet as she comes to share their story.
Good morning. Well, PCC, Portland Christian Center, has been an integral part of the spiritual formation of Cameron and I for many years. And before we share anything, we want to take this moment to thank so many of you that have spoken into our lives. You have encouraged us along the way. You have mentored us. You've discipled us. You've helped us in all sorts of ways. And we just want to say thank you because we would not be here today if it wasn't for many of you. Thank you. Well, Cameron's been attending PCC for about 28 years, so that means some of you may actually remember the little blonde, curly-haired boy running around in Sunday school, or in one of his more coveted roles as the little child that got to kick the Roman soldier in the knee during the Easter Passion play. I started attending PCC about 16 years ago when I was just entering into college, so I'll let you do the math on how old we are. And we even just enjoyed being here and serving at PCC in multiple different areas, and what a joy to serve the people here. Growing up in church, both Cameron and I became Christians at an early age, and we can both recall distinct moments in our life where we felt God calling us to serve him in full-time cross-cultural missions. But as so often happens, I think, in our American culture, we grew up, we went to college, and we started pursuing our careers and got a little distracted, and our callings soon faded into the background of our lives as we began to pursue what many of us know as the American dream. But God is sovereign, and he did an amazing thing in our lives. And over 10 years ago, Cameron and I started dating. And yes, we met here at PCC. So all you single people out there, hey, you may meet your mate at PCC. There is hope. And like so many couples, we came to a point in our relationship where we had a DTR. And if you don't know what a DTR is, a DTR stands for time to define the relationship. For those of the female gender, the DTR may be known as, are we getting married or what? Clock's ticking, buddy. So, of course, this is all by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we took a month-long break where we would take time to pursue our relationship with God. And we agreed to not have any contact with each other, so no talking at church. Kind of got ridiculous. I remember one service in the chapel. I was sitting 4 rows apart from Cameron, and there was nobody in between us. But we couldn't talk to each other. During that time, God began to work in my heart. And you see, I grew up in church, and I knew about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, but somehow I always took it as a suggestion, more like a nice little pin or badge or add-on to my Christian life, and not the command that Jesus spoke it as. See, when Jesus told his disciples to go make disciples, they were one of the last words that he shared with them on earth. And if we think about that, someone's like dying words, the last words they say before they die, they're pretty important to follow. And when Jesus shared the Great Commission, it was not an option to consider, but he spoke it as a command to follow. And the Lord began to speak this into my heart. And so at the end of that month, which really ended up being more like 3 weeks, we agreed, okay, we're going to talk on the phone. So we talked on the phone, and I gave Cameron an ultimatum under the leading of the Holy Spirit, of course. And I said to him, well, there is one thing, and that is that God has called me to serve him in full-time cross-cultural missions, and I cannot deny his calling on my life. And if you don't share that calling, I cannot marry you, and I cannot continue to date you. Dun dun. Cameron then confessed with great relief for me and him that the Lord had been speaking the same thing into his life. And we were just overjoyed at that moment to know that God had not only, by his grace, allowed us to spend the rest of our lives together, but to spend it together serving him in missions. And so 3 years later, we found ourselves in Brazil, serving the Lord in the Amazon for 2 months. And while we were there, we couldn't escape the Holy Spirit's conviction that we were going to return there and serve as full-time missionaries one day. And, you know, we could share for hours, but I will not do that today, about all the miracles and awesome things that God has done to continually, over a decade, confirm his calling in our lives. But if it was just one reason why we're going, it's because God has proved himself to us in such a complete and miraculous way that for us to not go serve him would be an act of disobedience. And we are compelled in every fiber of our being to go. And we aren't serving or going to serve in the Amazon because we're extraordinary people or have this tremendous faith. We're going because we know we need to be obedient to God's commands, and he's commanded us to go and make disciples, and he's called us. As it has been said, the gospel must not just be something that we possess, but it must be something that possesses us. 4 more trips to the jungle and 5 years later bring us here today. And you may ask, why now? Well, there are many key things happening that have revealed the timing is right. And I just want to begin to share with you a little glimpse into our vision that God has given us for the unreached of the Amazon. Just an overview of the Amazon, if you can go to the next slide there. It's the second largest river in the world. It has thousands of tributaries, runs through all of South America. The majority of it is in Brazil. And where we have worked and will be working is in the northern part of Brazil, which is known where the Amazon Basin is. And there's one major city there called Manaus, and that's where we've done a lot of our work out of. Also, the PCC Young Adults did a trip there last April. It's a very isolated region. There's no Interstate 5, you know, or 99W. You got to go by air or by boat to get there. Even in the country of Brazil itself, it's only reachable by air or boat. And because of the geographical isolation, there's still existing tribes that have not been contacted by the outside world. And some of these tribes, they're not even quite sure where they're located. And along with these uncontacted tribes are 121 tribes that have never heard the name of Jesus. And an estimated 10 to 30,000 communities that have no presence of the gospel. There's a lot of reasons that they're still unreached. As I've touched on, the geographical isolation, and it's very expensive financially to try and get there and reach these tribes. There's also political sanctions and prohibitions. The government will not allow you to go to an uncontacted tribe because they want to preserve the tribe. And so for that reason, we sometimes are limited on what we can share as far as our work when we're talking publicly. There's language and cultural barriers. And even a lot of the tribes have a distrust of outsiders because of how they've been taken advantage of in the past. So how do we get there? Well, there's a phenomenon occurring where 55% of all tribal peoples in Brazil are migrating into urban areas. And the number is increasing. In the city of Manaus in northern Brazil alone, there's an estimated 50,000 people living there that have migrated currently. And they're migrating from these unreached and uncontacted tribes in search of a better life in the cities. But sadly, when they arrive, their life is often worse than it was when they were with their communities. There's many reasons for their isolation and their worsening life. They're discriminated against because they're seen as uneducated or dirty or that they're demanding. They don't have the job and vocational skills that are needed for jobs in the city. They have a hard and difficult time with language acquisition. And there's cultural differences in the way that they act and look and dress. And this often leads to them living in isolation. And they basically, that bottom picture there, you'll see, they've built these wooden shacks upon wooden shacks. No master planning here. Just slabs of wood together where they live in squalor and crowded conditions, which leads to disease. And then often because of the poverty, out of desperation, they turn to crime or prostitution. And there's also a growing incidence of child slavery as well. And sadly, the vast majority of these people, they're known as hidden or invisibles there in Manaus. They're not being reached. Many of even the local national people are afraid to go into these, they're called favelas, known as slums or ghettos. They're afraid because of the crime. They're afraid they might contract a disease. And then there's the issue of discrimination. And then they're very difficult to find and locate. And many nationals don't even know where they are or that they exist. But here's an amazing opportunity because unreached and uncontacted people are coming to the city. They're coming to us. And we believe that God is preparing their hearts for the gospel. And we're excited to join God in what he's doing and believe that this migration is actually, it's part of his plan to fulfill the Great Commission. And in turn, we pray that not only will these people come to know Jesus, but that they will be discipled and the Holy Spirit will move in their lives to go back to their communities and reach those uncontacted and unreached tribes for Jesus, places that we are not allowed to go, places that we might not be as effective in reaching. And already we have seen just amazing connections happen. Cameron was in Manaus in October for the whole month doing a study there. And as he was there, God placed a tribal man in his life. Just awesome story. You can ask us about it later because I don't have time. But placed a tribal man in his life who's connected to all these communities and is asking Cameron to work with him and shared all the information and data with him. Doors are just opening left and right, and there's a movement occurring among the indigenous people and international and national mission organizations where they're coming together with the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission, of preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, and targeted towards reaching these unreached people groups in the Amazon. And our vision is to see the unreached and the unengaged hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and carry out the Great Commission by making disciples, establishing churches that are like them. They're indigenous. They don't look like PCC. They look like their church. They're sustainable and they're reproducible. To put it succinctly, and you've heard this before, we want to make disciples that make disciples and plant churches that plant churches. We believe in mobilizing indigenous people. They are called, just like all of us are called, to fulfill the Great Commission. And often they are more effective in reaching their own culture and community than we would be. And during the last young adults trip with PCC, Pastor Caleb and Cameron talked to a jungle pastor, and he looked at them, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, "Who will help us come and reach the unreached?" He was crying out for help. And we believe that God has called us. And maybe he's calling even some of you to go to the Amazon. Maybe he's calling you to other unreached peoples of the world. Maybe he's calling you to the unreached of Portland. But how do we begin? Where do we start? It's kind of an overwhelming process to think about. Well, I could share with you our four-part process, which we have, our five-year goals and plans. We have those too. Our missiology. But I'm just going to share with you the principles that God has been showing us that need to underlie everything we do. And if you want to know about all the other stuff, you can come and talk to us later, and I can give you it. Abundant prayer. We want to clothe everything in abundant prayer, because prayer is what we believe changes things and prepares the soil to receive the gospel. We also believe that God is already at work. His Holy Spirit is already doing things that we can't even see, like this migration movement. And that we, through prayer, ask the Lord to show us, where are you at work? And then through obedience, we step out and we join him in that work. See, it's not about us. It's nothing that we can do. No man comes except the Holy Spirit draws him. All that we are called to do is to be obedient to God's call and his commands, and the results are up to him. And before I hand the microphone over to Cameron, I want to leave you with one last thing. Although I've been talking about international missions and our call to Brazil, Cameron and I have recently been convicted that missions begins at home. And we aren't just waiting to get on the mission field. We are. We're all on the mission field. And so Cameron is going to share with you a testimony of how God has taught us this principle.
Thanks, Janet. We are so excited about what God is doing and what he wants to do in the Amazon and how he's already putting people together to receive the gospel. But Janet's right. For us, the conviction has come as we read Matthew 28 and says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things. And then we look at Acts 1:8 that says, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, we know that God is sending us to the ends of the earth. But right now, we're in Portland, which is our Jerusalem. And he's saying, right now, I want you to be about the gospel and sharing my truth. And a couple years ago, Janet was probably about 2 years or sometime last year, she was reading a book called Experiencing God. And I watched as she was reading this book that they were studying in Ladies Bible Study, and God began to confirm things in her heart about Brazil and calling. And I got excited as I was seeing what was going on in her life, and I said, I got to read that book. So I picked up the book and I started reading, and I began to see that God tells me that he's actively moving in and around our community. That he's actively moving in people's lives. And that all he wants us to do is join him in his work. And so I began driving one day to work. And as I was driving to work, I work in a public school. And I've been working there for about 9 years. And as I was driving to work, I said, God, I've worked here 9 years. Please open my eyes to your activity. Open my eyes to see what you're doing. God, help me not to get in the way. Help me not to plan these things. But Lord God, show me. Show me whose lives you're working in. Show me where you're at so I can join you in your work. And as I got to work, a lady came up to me named Sue. That's not her real name. Her name's Sue. And as she came up to me, she said, this has been a horrible school year. And I don't know what's going on in my life. And I looked at her and I said, I think God wants to do something special in your life. And she said, I think you're right. And I said, well, I have a book called Experiencing God I'd like you to read. And she said, I would love that. And as I was up in my classroom that day working during lunchtime, I started feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit to go back and really affirm that God is going to do something special in her life. And I went back down into her office, and you see, the story of Sue is that her husband that she'd been married to for a long time, 7 years ago, died of a massive heart attack. And you see, I said to her, I said, Sue, I really believe that God wants to do something in your life. She said, "Cameron, if you hadn't been saying the things that you've been saying to me over the last 7 years, I was going to commit suicide. You see, I didn't know, but here I am on the other side of town, and I'm driving to work and saying, 'God, you're at work somewhere in my school. Your activities around me, help me to see, help me to be obedient to follow you and to join you.' And you see, I didn't know this, but on the other side of town, Sue was driving to work, and she said, 'God, I can't do it anymore. God, I can't do it anymore.' And I'm driving to work, and I'm like, 'God, open my eyes to your activity.' And she's driving to work and saying, 'I don't know how to do it anymore, God.' And you see, we pulled into the parking lot at the very same time. And I'm sitting in my car, and I say, 'God, help me see your activity. Help me to join you in what you're already doing.' And she's sitting in her car, and she's saying, 'God, I don't know how to do it. What do I do?' And she turns her head, and she sees me sitting in the car next to her. And the Lord speaks to her, and he says this: 'See that man? He's going to help you.' You see, God is actively moving in our lives. And he's actively moving in the lives of those that we work with and in our community and among our neighbors. The next day, a lady walked by. She had been through a divorce. And as she walked by, a really rough time in her life, she walked by, and I turned to her and I said, 'I'm starting a Bible study. Would you like to go?' I have no idea why I said that, but I said it. And she turned to me and she said, 'Absolutely. When do we start?' I said, 'I don't know.' She said, 'How about Monday?' I said, 'That's good. Let's go with that.' And so Monday comes along. And we're at Sue's house, and there's four ladies sitting there. And you see, God started to get a hold of these ladies' lives. And we began to go back into our school watching for his activity and looking to see how he was moving and how he was working. And 2 or 3 weeks later, I show up to Bible study again, and there's eight ladies sitting there in the living room. And I'm thinking, God, I didn't sign up for a ladies' Bible study. What is going on? And then I look, and I'm saying, God, one of those doesn't even believe in you. And the other one's a universalist that believes all ways work to you. And then the Lord began to show me that sometimes discipleship happens before evangelism. That sometimes we disciple people before we actually share Jesus with them. And this group, they got excited about what was... I mean, we were handing out, experiencing God like all the time throughout our school. And they'd be watching, and they'd run in these hallways, and they'd go, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." I'm like, "Yeah." And then we go to the next one, another one standing over there. "Okay, I'm praying for..." And it was amazing movement of God. And you watched as they got fire to what God wanted to do in our school and in our workplace. But you know, it's not always easy. And we don't always feel like we want to join God's activity. As Janet and I and our friend Keith Pope were preparing to go out to mission assessment training in Philadelphia, 1 week before we were getting to go, I got a phone call from World Team. And they said, "We're sorry, but your missions coach and your friend has died in a car wreck. 34 years old, left his wife and 3 kids. Overwhelmed with grief and agony about this loss for this family, I hadn't even met him personally. I was going out that week to meet him for the first time. And I sat there in my workplace and I said, 'God, how? Be with that family, Lord.' And I didn't want to be at work that day. The last thing I wanted to do was talk to somebody, anybody. And it was about 4 o'clock, and I was getting my notes ready for my sub. 4:15 rolls around, and as I'm just getting ready to leave, a man walks in my room, an assistant. He says, 'Mr. Verchett, I'm so excited to see you.' I said, 'Oh, no.' He said, I can't wait to tell you all that God's doing. And he didn't say God, sorry. He said, I can't wait to tell you what's going on in my life. And I said, oh, I'm thinking, yeah, another God moment. And he says, I'm going to Mexico, and I'm going to open up a disco, a nightclub, and I'm going to invite all the people in. And in my heart, full of anguish and pain, I thought, what a waste. What a waste. And I said, why don't you become a teacher? Have you thought about that? He said, it's not for me. And in my frustration and in my agony, my pain, I turned away from him. I just ignored him completely and turned to my desk and started typing. And as I began to type at that desk, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know your friend that just died? He was about reaching the unreached. What would he say to him right now? And so I turned my chair around and I said, have you prayed about your decision? He looks at me like, what? I said, have you prayed about your decision? I said, because you see, when I'm going through a tough time in life and I need guidance and wisdom, I ask God to help me. You see, I walked a path of darkness, of hopelessness, without peace. And Jesus Christ turned my life around, and now I walk with peace and I walk with hope. And I know that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with him. And now I live with peace. I said, do you have that peace? No, I don't have that peace. I said, Romans says right here, Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And right there in my classroom, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You see, what I didn't know was on his way home, he works at a school up the street, on his way home, all of a sudden, he passed the school and felt this overwhelming compulsion to back his car up, pull into an empty parking lot, and hopefully go see Mr. Burchett, but couldn't figure out why. You see, God's activity is all around us, and he's moving in lives that we don't even know he's preparing. And as I'm standing there with him in the classroom, in my heart, I knew this wasn't about just somebody being a convert and is confessing with their mouth. But now I have a responsibility to make a disciple. You see, I'm learning that responsibility for disciple making doesn't fall on Pastor Ray or Pastor Caleb or Pastor Ron. But the reality is, if somebody's in my life and they receive Christ, I have a responsibility to make a disciple. And that I can't put it all on the church or on a pastor. I am supposed to be the church. And that next day, I met with my friend, and I said, let me share with you more of the testimony and love of Jesus Christ. And he said, I feel so much freedom. I feel so much peace. I feel like so much weight's been taken off me. He said, thank you so much for sharing, because you know what? No one has ever shared this with me before. And I thought, God, forgive me. How is it that we live in a gospel-saturated society and no one has shared with him the truth of Jesus Christ? How is that? And as I got on a plane and I flew to Philadelphia, and I'm sitting in a class with all these missionaries as we're getting ready and being trained, and someone got up, one of the directors got up, and she said, how many of you share the gospel? And I'm thinking, I am lucky that I shared this last week. I am seriously lucky. And there in a class, you see how all these missionaries are there and none of them are sharing the gospel. And she said, why don't we share the gospel? Why don't we share the gospel? And we began to talk in our groups and we said, because of fear of man. Because of what they think of us when we go and we feel like we're supposed to share. And then what are they going to think of us? And our reputations are on the line. And anxiety and fear of their approval. And maybe we don't have enough knowledge. I haven't been to Bible school. And she got up and she said this. She said, you don't share the gospel because you don't believe it. Because if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of salvation through that gospel, you would share it. And I took that to heart. And I went back home and I said, God, forgive me. Because, you see, responsibility, we always look to others and we think we want to criticize what everybody else is doing. But no, responsibility for faith comes on me. I have to take responsibility for my faith. And so I said, God, help me to be someone who shares your gospel, who's not afraid to share the gospel. But as Romans 1:8 says, for it is the power of salvation first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, that this gospel is good and it transforms lives. Help me to share, God. And as I was walking into school one day, a substitute that was there had subbed for me. And she's a good friend and a colleague that has also worked with us. And she came in and she said, I forgot my coffee mug in your classroom yesterday. I said, oh, come on in. I said, how are you doing? My life is horrible. I drink myself to oblivion. All these things. And she began to confess all these sins to me. And I'm sitting there going, can I share my story with you? And then I began to share what God had done and how he took me out of darkness and how he began to walk me in the light. And right as I got to the part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Christ had done and how we'd been separated from God because of our sin and how Jesus began to, on the cross, bridge the gap for us in our relationship with God. As I began to speak these words, guess who came in to tell me I was a liar and that she would not receive this gospel? Satan. He said, there's no way she's going to receive it. But the power of the Holy Spirit came over. He said, you keep speaking. And right there in my classroom, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is greater than the enemy. He's greater. The next week, another colleague, her mom, gave her life to Jesus. She'd come up to me, I'm so excited about what's going on in my daughter's life. And I'm thinking, and I watched as for 4 hours, the Holy Spirit came over her. And she accepted Christ. In 1 week, 3 teachers gave their lives to Jesus Christ. The people in the Bible study came up to me and they said, well, how do we, I'd like to be baptized. And I said, okay, 3 of them. Well, we used a kiddie pool in the backyard of where our Bible study met, and we just had this kiddie pool out there, and 3 people were baptized in the kiddie pool. That no longer they live, but Christ live in them. And the life that they live in the body, they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. That as they go into that water, they're a new person when they come up. That all that sin's gone. And right there at that baptism, 3 more people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. A mom standing there being baptized. And right beforehand, Janet and I are standing there. And we're standing with Sue. And the daughter walks up and she says, I want what? I want that. I want Jesus. And she accepts Jesus in the living room. You see, I don't share all these stories because of who I am or who Janet is or how we're going to do extraordinary things in the Amazon. No, God does extraordinary things. But I share these stories to give him glory first and foremost. And I share them because this is his message for you. His message for you is please, don't be like me. Don't be a hoarder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I sat here, I received the messages on Sunday morning, and I got excited, and I'd go out, and I said, I can't wait to get back next week and hear more. And sometimes I'd even be moved to tears, and I'd say, I can't wait to get back and hear more. But you know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't doing what James said. James said, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. We're called to be reproducers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a community who has never heard of his name. And those that have heard a wrong gospel sometimes. God is calling each one of us. You may not feel called to go to the Amazon, but Acts 1:8 says, to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So when you get out there and you think, is it right for me to share the gospel or not? You just think about how the Holy Spirit is on you. And it's not about you. It's about what he wants to do. And just be obedient. Be obedient to as he speaks to you. And you say, how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we become missional? God started to show me it's not about a paycheck. It's not about showing up into a job and thinking, okay, what has God got for me in my job? What's God's purpose in my job? Why am I working in this place? But instead, it's saying, instead of finding God's purpose in our job, it's saying, I bring God's purpose to my job because I have the gospel. And when I get there, his activity is already moving. It's living and active, and he's moving in people's lives. And all I have to do is be obedient. Watch for his activity. Jesus said, I watch to see what the Father is doing, and then I join him in his work. Believe in the authority and the power of the gospel, as we talked about in Romans. And people, listen to his word. Be in his word. I don't know for you guys, but two of the things that are the hardest things for me to do that keep getting distracted in my life is the Word of God and prayer. And you know why that is? Because the enemy does not want you to be transformed by this gospel, and he does not want you to get out there and share it with others. And when we get into this gospel, we can't help but to be transformed. Share your story. Mighty movements of God are happening in Asia over people just sharing their story. Do you remember? Do you guys remember that day when you received Christ? Do you remember that day when you had been filled with agony and shame and darkness and hopeless, and Jesus walked into your life? That's your story, and that's the gospel. Share that and watch God do the rest. He will move and he will do it in and through you. But you have to be obedient. And rely on him to do it. Revelations 12:11 says they were overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. This gospel is good. This gospel is good. That Bible study is, they're in the Word. And they are excited about going through the Word. And I'll tell you this, almost a year and a half later, Sue is now leading that Bible study. Someone who had thought about ending their life, God has radically transformed. And she's leading that Bible study. Sue, would you stand up? God, we serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God who does amazing things. And all he wants us to do is he wants us to get on an agenda with him. He wants us to look past ourselves and say, stop just listening to this word and living a self-centered gospel. But please, please take this gospel and share it with others. What is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what do we wish more for our neighbors than anything? Is that Jesus Christ would be their Lord and Savior. We want to get filled with God's Spirit. We want to spend time with Christ. And we want to get on God's agenda. As we're here today, God's been speaking to many of you. If you'd close your eyes with me. Lord, you're speaking to our hearts. You're challenging us, God, to look past ourselves, to look past the things that distract us, the things that prevent us from seeing who you are and joining you in your activity. And here, God, you are beginning to challenge people to step out of their comfort zone. And that it's not about comfort or pleasure anymore, but it's about your truth being revealed. the Amazon for Jesus Christ. But you know what I get excited about too? Portland, Oregon for Jesus Christ. That Portland, Oregon would come to know the Jesus that I know so well and have been transformed by. And as you close your eyes, if you feel in your heart that God is calling you to lay down your pride and know that you don't have all the gifts and talents and abilities, but you have the power and authority of Jesus Christ who resides in you, and you feel that you want to be more about going into the marketplace and joining God in His activity, if that's you today, would you just stand? Would you just stand saying, this is a declaration. I'm saying, it's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus Christ being revealed in Portland, Oregon. Just cry out to Him, God, move in me. Help me to get out of the way and let You do what You want to do in my job, in my school, in my high school. Just cry out to Him, Jesus, we praise You. God, we praise You. And some of you here are even feeling even more than that. You're sensing that God has been tugging at your heart. As you look at Acts 1:8, that it's not just here or there. You're going to be missional here, but you sense God's leading you to go to the unreached. And if that's you here today and you sense God is calling you out, you don't know how it's going to happen, but God is calling you out and He wants you to go into the nations. Would you just raise your hand? Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. God, I pray Your power and Your Spirit come over Your people. God, that they be transformed, not because of who they are, but because of who You are, and because of what You do, and because of what You're about. And I ask, God, as You have laid it on our hearts to be missional here in Portland, You would help us do that. Help us to listen to Your word and obey it. Help us not to come here, God, and just hear a message and go, that was a great message, that was wonderful, and then leave and we're not changed. Help us to listen and be reproducers of Your word to a lost and dying generation and society. And God, those that have raised their hand to go to the nations, I pray in the name of Jesus, You power them. You empower them with Your Holy Spirit. As though they feel doubts and they feel the enemy saying, there's no way you can do it. Well, the enemy told me that and he's a liar. Jesus Christ reigns, and if He's called you, He will send you. So believe it. God, we thank You. We praise You, Father. We praise You, Lord. Be exalted.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, or you're just visiting us here in Oregon, please join us for one of our services. For more information about our church, you can find it right here on our website at pcctoday.com.